D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. We are live at Hermitage Golf Course for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. Willie Donick expected to join us later in the program. I feel like I'm talking a bit too loudly. I feel like I need to do the show in hushed tones, like I'm Jim Nance at the Masters.
Well, I mean, there's nobody
else. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I don't think I could do a whole show like that.
I'm with Big Joe on this, man. Why can't we just talk the way we normally talk on golf courses? I really don't understand that. They should get used to it. May make their game better, you know, that distractions are a part of it. I mean, I don't want you to yell obscenities and stuff like that, but a good old heckling, you know, on hole nine, when your favorite golfer is up and the guy that's on nine is right behind him, so you should be able to heckle him a little bit. He's like he at the free throw line, right? Should be able to. Again, no obscenities. Just say, hey, golfer, swing, something like that.
You and Big Joe can take that up with the czar of golf, whomever that may be. But we are live at Hermitage Golf Course. Of course, Chase and Big Joe are here. Jared Stillman will be here following our program. We're happy to be here benefiting Folds of Honor, along with our friends at Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. So I have an update.
Yes.
So yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing Jeffrey Simmons and his absence,
yes, sir,
from Titans OTAs. Here is my disclaimer, because I know we're going to get texts and calls to this effect at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We understand it's voluntary. Again, we understand it's voluntary. But Derek was displeased, to say the least, that Jeffrey Simmons was not on the field for practice. He wasn't the only one, but we talked about Jeffrey Simmons specifically, and Derek, you had the caveat.
Mm-hmm.
You said, if he's in the building, he needs to be on the field,
mm-hmm,
but at least he's in the building.
Exactly.
Well, according to Paul Kaharsky, he was not in the building. At PaulKaharsky.com, he writes, quote, while Tyler Lockett, L'Jarius Sneed, Kevin Zeitler, and Tavondre Sweat were not spotted Wednesday at the second practice of Phase 3 of OTAs, the first open to the media, all three were at team headquarters practicing in meetings and rehabbing, which meant only one player kept the Titans from a remarkable perfect attendance mark at the first two of the voluntary sessions, Jeffrey Simmons. So according to Paul Kaharsky, not only was Jeffrey Simmons not on the field, he was not at the Titans facility.
Yeah, and again, the reason, and for those that say, well, it's voluntary, and I'm, that's not the part that I'm arguing about or that I'm concerned about in this situation. I'm not concerned about the voluntary, because I know that's sort of a way for people to say, well, he doesn't have to be here, this and that. Listen, for anybody that says that, your team won three games. My team won three games last year. Three, count them. One, two, three. Uno, dos, tres. Three games last year. And if you tell me that, oh, it's just voluntary camp and he doesn't need to be there, again, I will repeat to you, they won three games last year. They won a total of what? Nine games in 2 years? Something like that?
Sounds right.
Yeah, about nine games in 2 years. Your team is winning on average 4.5 games in the last season, two seasons. So, again, what I'm saying is no one gets a pass. I can see if your team was coming off an AFC championship game, winning the AFC North, I mean AFC South, you know, this team perennially competing for a championship or in the playoffs. I can understand that part. I can understand if Jeffrey had been in the league, you know, 10, 12 years, and you got the same coach for the last four or five, everything is moving in the right direction with the organization. Okay, I understand that. But your team, our team, has averaged 4.5 wins over the last two seasons. That's why I say that Jeffrey has to be there. He has to. The first day, he has to show up. He wants to be the leader of this team. Callahan is searching for leaders. He wants to be one of those leaders. He needs to be there. That is all I'm saying. So anybody that says, well, it's voluntary camp, well, I'm going to say your team won four games. Well, your team's averaged four wins over the last two seasons, so nothing should be voluntary.
And you didn't like how Brian Callahan answered that question yesterday.
No, I did.
About Jeffrey Simmons.
Because, again, because this perception of Callahan, which I don't agree with, but the perception is, you know, he may be a little bit too nice. He's nothing like Vrabel. And everybody hated Vrabel after a while, you know, hated the way he acted at times, not hated him as a person, just hated his antics. People didn't like it, but that was Vrabel. And now people, you know, you went from Vrabel to, it's almost like you went to the other extreme. It's like, okay, we don't want that, so we're going to go so far away from that that, you know, nobody's going to be able to remember that. Well, Brian seems to be the quote-unquote nice coach. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but that is the perception. Why? Because last year you had an individual not only fight but get into it with the a media member, and you did nothing about it. Nothing. You didn't kick him out of practice. You didn't do anything. And I'm not asking you to suspend a guy. That's not what I'm saying. But when you fight from my, you know, my experience, we don't care who you are. If you fight, you are out. Ask Albert Haynesworth, the number one, our first round pick. Ask him. He was fighting. He got kicked out of practice. Because those are things you just don't allow. Because things like that spill over into the game. You would have never, I don't think I ever had or ever seen a leader go at a media guy the way Jeffrey did. And those are things that when that is happening, when you're winning 4.5 games over the last two seasons, guys like Jeffrey needs to be there. I'm not saying Jeffrey's a bad person. I'm not saying he's a bad player because he's a hell of a player. But like Brian Callahan said, and I'm just gonna go with this. Enough leading by example. I am going to buy into that right now because it sort of fits my narrative. And
But if I recall correctly, you disagreed with that the other day.
Yes, I did. I disagree with it. I still do. The core of me disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, it could, because they're all buying into it. I heard Snead. I heard Pollard. I heard Denard Wilson yesterday talk about this. They all are buying into this. I may not agree with it, but I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm not going to bitch and moan over it too long. Just going to leave it right there. But since they are going by that premise, and those are their, you know, their pillars now, one of the pillars, then Jeffrey needs to be there. Don't just do what you're supposed to do. Do more. Bring guys with you. Who did you bring with you yesterday, Jeffrey? Oh, you were not there yesterday, so you couldn't bring anyone with you. And again, I don't think Jeffrey's a bad person or a bad player. I'm just saying in this situation when they're searching for leaders, he's at the front of everybody's list. Well, if you're at the front of everybody's list, then you got to do some of those uncomfortable things, those things that maybe those guys can do but you can't because you are one of the leaders or you want to be the leader.
As you pointed out yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens had OTAs, and guess who was there? Derrick Henry was there. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins was there. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson was there.
Yes.
I want to do you one better because you mentioned the number of wins they've had over the past two seasons. You are correct. They have had 9 wins. Remember, how many games in a row did they lose to end the 2022 season?
Like seven?
Seven in a row. Mm-hmm. So since that losing streak started, They go to Green Bay on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. They beat Green Bay. They come home. They lose to Cincinnati at home. That was November 27th, 2022. Since that date, November 27th, 2022, the Titans have won a grand total of 9 games. The fewest in the NFL since Thanksgiving week 2022. Bottom of the league. The Patriots have won 10 games over that span. The Giants have won 11 games over that span. The Panthers have won 11 games over that span. The Cardinals and the Bears have won 12 games over that span. They are the only team in the NFL since Thanksgiving 2022 with single-digit wins. So you can even go back further than the start of the 2023 season. Since the middle of the 2022 season, they are 9-32. They have lost 32 of their past 41 games.
And again, people, our team, because I love this team. I want to see them win. I want to see them do well. I may not agree with everything they do, but I voice my opinions, but I want to see this team do well. Our team is the worst franchise in the National Football League as we speak.
Currently,
right now. I'm not talking about
not
eight
ever.
Years ago. Not ever. This ain't, no. I'm not talking about in the next 10 years.
Over the past 2.5 seasons.
I'm saying right now.
Over the past 2.5 seasons, there is not a franchise in the NFL that is worse than the Tennessee Titans from a win-loss perspective.
Exactly. So when I say things like that, or what I said yesterday, again, either you can get bitter or you can get better, as my friend Chris says.
Shout out Chris Sanders.
I'm saying that because our team, Adam just gave you the receipts of it all.
9-32.
Our team is 9-32.
Since beating Green Bay on Thursday Night Football in mid-November of 2022.
And the whole beer gate or alcohol gate.
Hashtag the plane from Green Bay.
Yes. Whatever gate that is, alcohol gate. Ever since alcohol gate, this team has only won 9 games and has lost 32 games. So when you see that picture, you see that picture right there.
Think of the worst teams in the NFL over that time. The Carolina Panthers, mm-hmm. the New England Patriots, the New York Giants. They have all won more games than you over that span.
Yeah, so when you see that and you walk past that every day, that reminds you that the minute you walk past that 9-32, there's no leeway. There's no excuses. There's no giving people passes anymore. Because out the door, I got to walk past that 9-32 record. Brian Callahan should put that up on the – no, seriously. Brian Callahan should put that up on the wall walking out the building. 9-32 over the last – since when?
November of 2022.
Since the start of that losing streak.
He wasn't a part of it. That was Mike Vrabel. But since the start of that losing streak that led the Titans from being the top of the AFC South to missing the playoffs by losing to Jacksonville at the end of the season.
That right there is a reality check. That right there should motivate you to want to come to work every day and dominate. That's why I said, man, Jeffrey, you need to have 9-32, you know, etched in your car. 9-32 etched in your car. You should have that because that will be a reminder every day you get up to get in your car what your mission is. One, to be the leader of this team, if indeed that does happen. And two, to make them better than what that 9-32 record says. That should be etched in everybody's locker. 9-32. So you remember as you're walking out, why are we here? This is the reason we're here. Because of this 9-32 record. And don't ever forget it. So when I say Jeffrey needed to be here, I know it was voluntary. I get it. I'm not on him because it was voluntary. I am addressing him because he wants to be the leader of this team. He said so. Callahan, they said it last year with Rand, and they said it. 2 years ago with Rand, they said it last year with Callahan. Jeffrey's the leader. Well, if that's the case, man, you got to do those sacrificial things again. I'm not saying that you're not sacrificing, But when you are the leader of 52 men and you're one of the faces outside the quarterback, you're probably the face of the franchise, then you got to sacrifice a little bit more. That's all.
Greg Roberts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says it's funny to have an annoyed at the Titans' D-mace while having the zenful noise with the birds chirping in the background. It is a nice juxtaposition. Us yelling at Jeffrey Simmons while birds are chirping.
Exactly.
It's nice.
Because it's not like it gives off – we're not angry.
We're just disappointed. You never want to hear that from your parents or anybody that you love. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
And it's coming out in my voice.
Yes.
That's why the birds, the chirping, is trying to sort of soothe it as it comes out.
I think the birds are saying, preach, D-Mace. That's what they're saying if we could translate bird chirping to human talk. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, not only not being on the field, but not being at the Titans facility yesterday for the start of OTAs. We are live at Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. I want to tell all of you that you could go to 615open.com and take part in the silent auction. Just skimming through it right now, a lot of great experiences that you can have. I see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety. I see WWE Friday Night SmackDown live at Bridgestone Arena. Eric Clapton, Keith Urban, Nate Bargatze, college basketball, an autographed hockey stick from Ryan O'Reilly. A lot to bid on at 615open.com. So if you're interested, that's where you go. Of course, benefiting Folds of Honor. But coming up next, we finally hear from Will Levis. And there's a phrase that we often hear in news that is overused, but I do believe it works in this case. We will discuss what Will Levis had to say yesterday. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis. Pregame begins at 5:20, and first pitch is at 5:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. This week's Nashville's best deal is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you live at Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. A couple of reactions to our discussion on Jeffrey Simmons. Matthew in Nashville says, Simmons not being at the Titans OTAs is not as big a deal as y'all think it is. TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson not being there for their respective teams, on the other hand, is in fact a big deal. Now, it's important to note, if I'm not mistaken, that TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson are in contract disputes with their respective teams. So there's a purpose for TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson not to be at practice. As far as I know, there is no contract dispute with Jeffrey Simmons. So if there is no contract dispute, I am not lumping him into the same category as two high-profile players who are in contract disputes.
Listen, again, if this is the stance some Titan fans, and I don't know if this is a Titan fan or not, but if this is
I assume he's Matthew in Nashville.
Exactly. If this is some of the Titans fans' stance, then okay. I mean, if you're okay with, you know, being mediocre, or not even being mediocre, being bad. If you're okay being a worst franchise over the last two seasons, then okay. You can say that, oh, him missing, you know, it's voluntary, him missing, it doesn't mean anything. Okay. Say it if you want to. I'm just looking at it from this standpoint. I'm not worried about anybody.
Matthew in Nashville, by the way, is a Steelers fan.
Yeah, so he really don't care. So maybe I should hold.
He's paying more attention to the AFC North than
exactly.
The AFC South.
So listen, like I tell my kids, I'm not worried about anybody else's child but mine in a lot of situations. And a lot of times we would be talking about stuff that goes on at school. Listen, my kids were great students, but they kind of, you know, every once in a while, they kind of, you know, slip back. And I always tell them, I don't care what the class did. I'm worried about what you do. I don't care if the class average was 70 or 72. No, that you're not average. So you need to do better. I'm not worried about them. And that's how I feel about the Titans.
Let's go to James in Ashland City on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He wants to talk about Jeffrey Simmons. James, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, no, thank you for taking my phone call. But the way I looked at it like this is, it, to me, if Jeffrey Simmons verbally didn't come out and say he wants to be the leader of this team, I wouldn't have a problem with it per se. We've already established the fact that this is voluntarily. But like you said, with this record being what it is the last 2.5 seasons, I just think it's a bad – the optics on it are really bad. If you seriously want your teammates to say, hey, we believe that you are a team leader, we look at you as a team leader, these optics are going to be the opposite of that. And, Derek, when I get off the phone, can you surmise what reasons from an NFL player can you think of, other than what he said about a no contract dispute? What reasons could it be? What's inside his – I know we can't get inside his head, but from a player's standpoint, what could it possibly be? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, James.
Thank you. Listen, he may have had, you know, listen, family things come up. I get that. But, you know, because I want to be very careful because I don't know everybody's family dynamics.
According to Paul Kaharsky, Simmons has not been part of any of the Titans' in-house offseason, but has communicated with the team about his plans throughout.
Okay, but again, I go back to, man, y'all won 9 games.
2.5 years.
And outside of, because I know things come up with guys, and I know family things come up. So if it was an emergency, something wrong, if he has a child, I don't know if Jeffrey has a child or not, or children. If it was something wrong with your children, then by all means, if that was the case, the organization said would have said if he had to deal with family matters, and they would have left it as that, which tells me it had nothing to do with something urgent. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe he decided to stay with his guys that he's working out with. But my thing, again, with Jeffrey is, man, y'all 9-32. That's all I need to say to you. Y'all are 9-32. That's all I need to say to anybody with a Titan uniform on, even the rookies. They are 9-32 over the last 2 seasons. They are, from a statistical standpoint, when it comes to their record, the worst franchise in the National Football League. They've been through 2 or 3 GMs in so many years. They've been through 2 coaches in so many years, or a coach, and that has a new one, so they have 2 coaches over that span.
Correct me here, timeline-wise.
Yes.
John Robinson would have still been the GM at the start of that 7-game losing streak, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
3 GMs over that span. Robinson, Carthon.
Well, no, he got fired. They fired him, and then they started losing.
Okay.
So he wasn't a part.
But still.
Vrabel and I don't know who else they had as, you know, de facto GMs at that time. But John Robinson wasn't a part of the start of the 7-game slide into the next following season. He wasn't a part of that.
Either way.
Yeah.
A lot of turnover in the front office and on the coaching staff over the past few years. One texter says, Mike says, there is a difference between a person who plays professional football and a professional football player. I'm with you, 85. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, Simmons does himself no favors, makes himself a bright, shiny target lately. And let's use the word that James used, because I think it's the correct word. Optics.
Yes.
We don't know the reasons why Jeffrey Simmons is not there. Now, maybe this is answering James's question, or part of James's question, and you can speak to this as well. There are certain players who have preparation routines with their own trainers.
Uh-huh.
They're comfortable at a certain facility. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they don't want to be at the team facility, but I think Derrick Henry, for example, does a lot of work on his own with a specific trainer and a specific location, and that happens too. But it's optics. It's the top player on your team, presumably. The highest paid player, one of the highest paid players, easy for me to say, at his position in the NFL. This team has a leadership void. We've talked about that at length. We talked about it earlier this week. Brian Callahan is trying to cultivate leaders. And Jeffrey Simmons seems like he would be the type of player who should be a leader. But as we discussed the other day, not all top players are cut out to be leaders. and the Titans need to stop shoehorning Jeffrey Simmons into a leadership role. That's just, it does not appear it's for him, and that's okay. I will not fault him for that. Mm-hmm. But the optics of the record is what it is, and according to Paul Kaharsky, the only player on the entire roster who is not in the building is Jeffrey Simmons. The only one. There were players who were not on the field. According to Paul Kaharsky, they were in the building. Jeffrey Simmons, the only one who was not on the field or in the building. And if you are trying to set the tone, that is not the right example to set.
No, it's not. And again, because you look at, you know, Derrick Henry. And I know, listen, Derrick Henry may not have come to every OTA when he was here. I don't know. But at that point in time, the Titans sort of was, they were the cream of the crop. So, you know, and they had more than one leader. Like, it's when you have a, say you got 52 guys or girls, and then at 52 guys or girls, you have five leaders, like individuals that can be leaders, like no matter what. This is how diverse and how stock pile we are in regards to leaders. So Adam, if we're both leaders and then Willie's a leader and Chase a leader, okay, Adam, you don't have to be here today.
Okay,
we're good.
We got you.
Leader. We got you.
Yeah,
because all of us, we got you. All right, Mace, we got you. Willie, all right, Chase, all right, we got you. The Titans can't say that.
Right.
The Titans can't say, Jeff, nah, you good. Go take a –
right.
Go
Derrick Henry isn't here anymore.
Exactly.
Kevin Byard isn't here anymore.
So if Byard wasn't here, Derrick Henry was here. If Derrick Henry wasn't here, Jarrell Casey was here. Mm-hmm. If Jarrell Casey went – you had all these other guys that were here that were considered, like, true leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Callahan is trying to find that guy right now. I'm not saying they don't have him. Don't mix my words up. I'm not saying they don't have him. He's looking for him. And he's telling everybody out loud he's looking for a leader. And when the one guy in the locker room that has sort of welcomed and wanted that leadership role and hadn't always worked out, but wanted that leadership role, you ain't here at a critical time. Like this, I don't know if people understand this or not. This, and I've been saying this for two seasons, this year is huge because it puts them closer to the day that stadium opens.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new quarterback. This is her version of Steve McNair and how she can start this franchise over. They tried it with Will Levis last year. I think somebody convinced her that Will Levis was the guy, and she went with it. Come to find out, he wasn't ready. He wasn't the guy. So in her mind, she's like, this is my guy right here. This is my guy. So if this is her guy, and she's telling everybody, and y'all are telling everybody, y'all gushed over Cam, it starts now. And when it starts over the leader or one of the supposed leader, a guy that wants to be a leader, he needs to be here day one. Day one, you need to be here. And Jeff wasn't. Again, he's not a bad person. No. But if it had something to do with family issues, like an emergency or something, Callahan would have made sure he said it. Because why? He would have been covering, you know, for his players. But he didn't say that. And that's what I was looking for. So did you just want to stay with your guy and work out? Okay, I get that, Jeff. But I get that if you're winning 10 games a year, 11 games a year, 12 games a year. But when you're winning 4.5 games over the last two seasons, and you are the worst franchise in the National Football League, and this is no diss to that franchise. I'm just basing it upon fact, record. I'm looking at it. I'm not trying to make them any worse than what they are. I'm looking at their record, and the record says that they are the worst franchise in the National Football League right now. Not 3 years ago, right now. And in order to get out of that, guys like Jeffrey has to sacrifice some of that off time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sacrifice it, man, because, listen, you want to be – I feel y'all got enough players to be better than 9-32.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons. We will get to Will Levis coming up next at 615-737-1025. Tune into 1025 The Game tomorrow. for your NCAA baseball regionals coverage. The number one overall seeded Vanderbilt Commodores host number four Wright State at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at approximately 5 p.m. Central. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. The Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mace and Adam Vingan live at Hermitage Golf Course for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. You can participate in our silent auction by visiting 615open.com. Okay. So there is a term that's often used in news coverage, Derek Mason.
Yes.
That I find to be overused.
Okay.
And that's breaking his silence. Derek Mason breaks his silence about whatever you're breaking your silence about. I think it's overused. But in this case, I think it works. We heard from Will Levis yesterday. Will Levis had not spoken about the direction of the Tennessee Titans, the drafting of Cam Ward, since the end of last season. So I do think breaking his silence is apt in this situation because everybody wanted to know what Will Levis thought about the fact that the Titans are replacing him. So here was Will Levis after practice yesterday discussing his situation.
Seriously, for you right now, it's just being a pro. I mean, is this a good lesson for you and just how being a pro is in this league and having to show up regardless of what the circumstances are?
Yeah. I mean, I think, anyone who's ever been in my situation can agree that it sucks. So just trying to do everything I can to not let it affect me and just, being just the same dude every day in the building and being here for the guys, however I can, and just trying to get better every day.
If your backup, Will, you've got the mindset to shift, downshift into what that requires?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been a backup in a while. I don't plan on shifting my mindset at all, regardless of what the situation is. So I'm just going to be ready to play quarterback whenever my name's called.
Did you ever have a thought or even a conversation, Will, that maybe you might benefit from a fresh start? Did that cross your mind or bring that up at all? Or were you comfortable?
Fresh start, what do you mean?
Like if you might want to go move somewhere else or anything.
Yeah, I got no power under that. I mean, it's their decision.
So that was Will Levis yesterday, and we'll play a little bit more from Will Levis here in a minute. But talk about life coming at you fast, Derek Mason. This time a year ago, Will Levis was shooting mayo fragrance commercials. He was the talk of the town. He was the starting quarterback of the local professional football team. And now he's being asked questions about what is it like to be replaced, is what effectively everybody was asking. And I heard it was more about the tone than the content of his answers. And I actually do want to play David, if you will. I want to play another clip. He was asked about watching the Titans courting Cam Ward during the draft process and how he felt about that. This is Will Levis talking about that process.
What was kind of your perspective what went through your mind as you watched a quarterback start this draft process? How did that kind of strike you?
When Cam got drafted, you're saying? Or?
Build up to it, just as you watched for months of time, Titans going after a quarterback.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of saw it coming. Like, just felt like I dealt with it emotionally, like, way before it actually happened, so I didn't feel like really a shock when it did. It wasn't that big a deal.
That last part there, that caught me. Yeah, I wish. Long pause.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said whatever he said. Like, he is clearly biting his tongue. And he's trying to be a good soldier. He's still on the team. He's practicing. He doesn't want to be a distraction. But you can tell in the way he answered those questions, and specifically the tone in which he answered those questions. Clearly, Will Levis not in a great place.
Yeah, he's not. He was like Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire. Is anybody coming with me? He's so angry inside. Everybody thinks he's going to blow up, but he keeps it together. He keeps it calm. Is anybody coming? You're coming with me. Come on, pack it. And she gets up and just goes with him. That's Will Levis. Man, listen, as a And I'm sure the person that asked this question, they've been around sports a very long time. And this isn't probably the first time they ran into a situation like this. You know exactly how he feels, in a sense, because I think any and everybody can relate to an extent. Maybe not at the pro level, but maybe at the, at your job. In a corporate world, something like that, where, you see them courting that young, executive, and everybody, it's heard throughout the whole building. Everybody knows. And you don't like it, but what? You got to go about your job. The only reason we don't know about them is because nobody's sticking mics in front of their face and asking them, well, Derek, how do you feel that they're courting the young, up and coming exec?
Is that your exec. Is that your broadcasting voice?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
I might need to talk with Corey Curtis about how to perfect that a little bit.
I think so, but I think I'm past that now. I think I'm past that.
Well, you're here with us.
Exactly. So, how do you think that person would feel? If somebody came to him or her and said, "So, how do you feel now that your company is courting a young new executive from whatever other team?"
Right. Like, if these
graduating out of college.
And I've been in this position countless times as a reporter, asking players hard questions about being replaced.
Yes.
I remember the number of conversations I had over the years with Pecorine when UC Saros was starting to come up, and you could tell that the Predators were shifting a little bit toward UC Saros, and that Pecorine's grip on the number one job in net for the Predators was starting to loosen. And it's a delicate balance.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what those reporters are getting at is, well, you sucked last year. And because of that, the Titans had the number one overall pick, and they drafted your replacement.
So
how does it feel?
How do you feel to know that you sucked so bad that they had to go get somebody else?
Right.
To take your job. Well, it feels bad. I feel
crappy.
I feel like I failed the team last season. I feel that, man, like my game wasn't good enough. I didn't learn, well enough. I didn't adapt well enough. You think of all of these things that you didn't do. That's how you're feeling when someone asks you that question. Nobody, I think, no true competitor, let's say that. No true competitor. It's just going, you're going to put the mic in front of him, and they just going to say, you know what, I didn't care. I ain't care whether he took the job or not. They're not going to do that. Anybody worth their salt, you're going to sense the sort of disappointment in their voice. Even if they answer the question like, hey, listen, yeah, I understand, and Cam's a good guy. Seems to be a good kid. He's learning. He and I are going back and forth with a few things in the meeting room. I'm teaching him some things. He may say all those good things, but you can hear it in his voice. It comes out in his voice, and just listen to that whole thing. Like, he wanted to say, I'm disappointed that they did that, that I deserve another opportunity. The opportunity I had wasn't ideal. That's what he wanted to say. But he couldn't say that. Why? Because now if he says that, everybody's making that a big, he's not a team player, yada, 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 all of this stuff. He knows he can't do that.
It was about the
tone. Well, he can, but.
Right. It was about the tone. Like, he answered the questions the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little defiant at times. But it was the tone. As Josh from Nevada says on our text line, man, I feel sad for him. Or I feel bad for him. He sounds really sad.
Okay, this was something that I was thinking about
yesterday,
late yesterday. And I think we need to discuss this somehow, some way, within the next couple days, a day. Because hearing that, has the sentiment changed with Will Levis? In regards to this, because last year everybody, he can't do right, look at this, look at that, yada, yada. And now there's been this sort of...
You're asking if people are starting to feel sorry for Will Levis.
Because I even hear it nationally. Well, his offensive line wasn't good. They didn't put him in a good position. This and that. Now I'm starting to hear the sympathy side of it.
Right.
And maybe this is our society. Like, we hate somebody, but then when somebody else comes in and we see how it affects the person that they came in from, now all of a sudden it's, man, I do feel bad for that person. I think that's where some people are getting with Will Levis. Now it's the, oh, I feel sorry for Will Levis now. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I'm saying, are we now entering into that sort of realm where we went from, you know, saying this guy can't get it right, it's because of him that the offense is he's one of the big reasons the offense hasn't been well, you know. Callahan says don't do this, and he ends up doing it the very next opportunity he gets out on the field. All of this, all of these things, all of these warts that we brought up about Will Levis and saying he's not the guy, and now they brought Cam Ward in, and now all of a sudden, even from a national standpoint, I started hearing this during the draft. Well, you know what? They didn't set him up well. You know, the offensive line was bad. They didn't have no number one guy, this and that and that and this. Now it went from apathy to sympathy. Is that right?
Well, apathy is not caring.
Yeah, that's not caring. So they didn't care to sympathy, yes. They didn't care, absolutely. So you went from apathy to sympathy.
How about antipathy, which is a deep-seated feeling of dislike?
There we go.
So they went from antipathy to sympathy.
Exactly.
With Will Levis. And it's a good question. And we can continue that on the other side. 615-737-1025. We've heard from Will Levis. He's broken his silence. I do think it is appropriate to say that because it's been months since we heard from Will Levis, and a lot has changed since the last time we heard from Will Levis. So your thoughts on that. But there is another question about Will Levis that I do want to get to. 615-737-1025. A reminder that we are out here at the Hermitage Golf Course for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor and presented by Gary Force Acura and Atmos Energy. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium downtown, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details.